Good evening, everyone. The war is on. War on the reckless driver. War on the public enemy on the highway. The nation fights back, determined to drive and to live. Planes overhead on many main highways in a great many states. National Guardsmen out in the Midwest. Every state trooper in Pennsylvania on the job. Illinois, Arizona, Michigan. The National Guard out. This massacre on the highway must end. Bulletin calendar, Ontario, at the home of the Dionne quintuplets. All misunderstandings finally ironed out. Everybody happy. Here's a late one from Detroit. We missed our 8 million goal on cars for the year by only 60,000. We're that much short for the 8 million mark. And that noise you hear, no, nobody is jumping the gun on the New Year's Eve celebration. It's Joe Staline turning handsprings way down you know where. It's Joe Staline saying, you know, those boys of mine in Moscow, they had me worried for a time. I thought they were going soft on me. Here they were shaking hands with President Eisenhower. They were talking peace and talking about the Geneva spirit. And I really thought they might be getting ready to call it quits and not make any more grabs. And my, oh my, I feel better tonight. They haven't gone soft on me after all. No, sir. When they're willing to pick out the time when the president is recovering from a heart attack, to open an even colder cold war, when they pick out the week of Christmas and New Year, to send a shiver around the world and make everybody wonder whether they've got that intercontinental rocket, when they shout peace, 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 and deliver those jabs at the same time, I'm telling you, my boys are all right. They haven't gone soft. And they're not letting me down, either. That's Joe Staline's little spiel tonight. And if you've had one possible doubt about the communists being crazy, this is where you lose your last possible doubt. For a week, they've abused, insulted, and thrown mud at everybody. What do you suppose Bulganin is doing now? Giving a great big New Year's Eve party tomorrow night and inviting everyone he called every name in the book. But we've given them something to think about to take the steam out of them. You remember Khrushchev attacked President Eisenhower personally because his Christmas message carried a hope that all captive people would be free one day. Well, he got his answer tonight, straight from White House headquarters. And what do we tell him? We tell him freedom of all captive people is and will remain American foreign policy. Straight, plain, blunt, sharp. And hats off for that kind of talk. Well, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion. For the year 1956, with American boys in uniform standing guard in so many different places on the map, and so many homes where parents will not have their boys home for the holiday, and the whole world holding its breath as it hears of a new rockets on top of all the big bombs, my motion is let the UN cut out every cocktail party, every dinner party, every kind of party on the calendar and get to work Tuesday morning. And work and work and work 8 and 10 and 12 and 14 hours a day. And find a way to give this tired, war-weary world President Eisenhower's plan to end the fear of sudden attack by anyone against anyone anywhere on this earth. I don't know how many boys we've lost in training accidents because we're forced to defend ourselves, forced to prepare, forced to make that sacrifice. But every cocktail party at the UN at such a time is a monstrous shame. Every laugh, every joke, every word, every handshake with the enemy, anything but the grim job ahead is another monstrous shame. The president's plan is beyond a doubt, the world's biggest and brightest hope for all men on this earth. Let the cocktail parties at the UN wait until it's done. Then those who have to can have doubles. Well, they're picking the biggest story of the fading year 55. I've got mine. The story which nailed down the biggest communist lie of all. The one which said America had to have a war to remain prosperous. You know, only a red hooligan would have a tongue foul enough and a mind diseased enough to say we would gladly trade the lives of our sons for more money in the bank. And when anything cheaper, meaner, more dirty comes out of the mouth of anybody, it'll come out of the mouth of a communist. And my, how that lie has been nailed down. No war and the biggest and best years in world history. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You can have all your pacts and the lies and the alliances. I'll take the American way of life as our strongest ally and greatest weapon of all. For as long as we can show this to the world, all the red propaganda is a peanut by comparison. As long as we can keep it up and keep our guard up, too, communism can never hurt us as much as a scratch. Let them roam the earth with their circus and let them promise the moon. Let them howl until they're blue in the face. People will still point to the American story and pray for it for their children. This is our real front line. Freedom's front line. Let's watch over it. By doing everything we have to do abroad, but remembering our own, too. Remembering our own. We pour gold into the pockets of so-called neutrals, hoping they'll remain neutral. I'm asking you, who'll stand up for freedom in a storm? A neutral you have to buy and keep? Or an American with a real stake in the American way of life? We've got to ring every bell and blow every whistle and pound every drum and hammer on every door in this land and say for 1956, in heaven's name, end this cruel, horrible practice of refusing jobs to people over 50. We've got to search our hearts and our very souls and ask ourselves, what are we doing to millions of our own who grow older without putting away a dollar? And ask ourselves honestly, does a pious, pompous neutral posing above the battle, except when it comes to getting our money, does he count for more than the men and women whose hearts, brain, and brawn have made all this wealth we roll in now? A man, a woman getting older has to belong, has to feel wanted, needed, has to feel he counts, has to belong, has to wake up each day to a responsibility of something to do. You stop refusing to hire older people. You stop counting miserable nickels when you talk Social Security. Stop putting a limit on what a man can do and earn after he's drawing his security. Stop refusing to realize millions of people who went through every sacrifice to save a dollar have seen those dollars cut to half. Stop humoring ourselves with the idea that $600 a year can raise a child. Count them, the millions of white-collar people, the farmers and small businessmen who are not getting their break in this golden year of our harvest. Make 1956 their year. We've got the money. What we need is the heart. Well, get ready to say hello to a lucky young gentleman. I'm afraid I can't tell you his name or where he'll live or even the color of his eyes because, as a matter of fact, he's still waiting to make his grand entrance. But somewhere at exactly 1 minute past midnight tomorrow night in the first minute of the new year, 56, he'll knock and say, here I am, hello, folks, and he'll be the first baby of 56. I don't know why I say he. It might just as easily be a sweet young lady. I suppose if we had the figures for the past 20 years to show whether the first baby in the new year is a boy or a girl, some people might do some heavy betting on which it's to be either way. I knew a man who put his money on a baby boy. He was sure of it. You see, boys had come first in his family from way, way back. Lo and behold, it was a boy, all right, but he came just about a minute and a half after his twin sister. The man said, well, I was close anyway. Boy or girl, twins or triplets, lucky children. Coming into the world's greatest country and the greatest age men have ever lived on this earth. Lucky children. Long before they're old enough to go to school, the hydrogen bomb going tick, tick, tick and whispering, it's you or me, folks. The monster bomb will compel the whole world to finally wash its hands of war. No baby has ever been that lucky before. They'll be coming to the USA as it goes into what promises to be the greatest year of all. The shadow of polio will be gone. The fire traps in which many children now perish will give way to modern homes. an aroused nation finally shocked by the figures will drive the last reckless driver off the highway. And somewhere a grandmother will be saying, "Now look, you quit pestering that baby, you hear? What do you know about babies anyway?" And a grandfather will answer, "Woman, you're looking at a man who taught you all you ever knew about them." And a baby's chuckle will echo from a crib, and there'll be music in the world, the sweetest music of all. And whether it's you or the man next door or the man down the block, it's everybody's music. And for 1956 and all years to come, when the shadows creep on the walls and the worries come, remember the words a man once inscribed over his fireplace. "I'm an old man and I've had many worries in my time, most of which never happened." Happy New Year, everybody.
Good evening. This is Bill Downs in Washington, substituting for Eric Severide. We are approaching that time of the year when news editors sit down and choose the 10 biggest news stories of 1958. And Mr. Henry Luce's news magazine goes through the annual ritual of picking the so-called Man of the Year. It occurred to us that if Mr. Luce can have a Man of the Year, why can't everyone else? Republicans and Democrats, scientists and dolts, politicians and voters. We were kicking the idea around with some of our Washington colleagues the other day, and it was agreed that the true men of the year are seldom given proper credit, those characters in the background who initiate or embellish a story or event. A staunch Democrat present said his party should nominate Harold Stassen for the honor, but another partisan said no. The man of the year for the Democratic Party should be that Andean hunter who shot the vicuña that got to the House of Goldfein. Someone then asked, who should be the man of the year for the Republicans? Well, our GOP colleague on hand, still suffering from November's election buffeting, thought long and deep. "It's obvious," he said finally, "the Republican Party should make their 1958 Man of the Year honor a posthumous award to the late John D. Rockefeller for having the foresight to sire a son named Nelson, although we don't know yet just where Nelson's going to stand with the Dirksen Bridges wing of the party." Well, as such discussions will go, the talk turned to international affairs and who was really this year's unsung Man of the Year in the Soviet Union. The Russian who makes Khrushchev's vodka was considered and rejected, so was Mrs. Khrushchev. But this informal board finally agreed that the West really owes the Man of the Year honor to the Russian official who read Boris Pasternak's Dr. Zhivago. This unsung hero, by banning the book, the Nobel Prize, and attacking the author, struck a blow for freedom that rang around the world. When the informal nominations got into the field of arts and sciences, there immediately came to mind a man from Memphis, Tennessee, that unknown lover of good music, the chairman of Elvis Presley's draft board. And what explorer would not endorse for the Man of the Year that perceptive sailor on the nuclear submarine Nautilus who remembered to take aboard a load of ancient North Polar ice for the Admiral's cocktail parties back here in Washington? But here we got one objection from a Marine correspondent, naturally. If there's to be a military Man of the Year for 1958, he declared, then surely it should go to that little Lebanese boy who greeted the advance Marine detachments which landed on the shores of Lebanon last July 15th. This Beirut youth set up a cold drink stand to slake the thirst of the U.S. fighting men. He proved the efficacy of individual ambition and free enterprise, and so overcharged the leathernecks that they had little money left to get into trouble with. A true advocate of Arab-American understanding. This truly has been an eventful year, with segregation and satellites filling the headlines, with recession and rock and roll badgering the citizenry. One man's Man of the Year is another man's bum, and we give fair warning to Mr. Henry Luce that if he's smart this year, he'll stick to Santa Claus.